Romans chapter 7 and 8 again, mainly chapter 7. I want to read one verse to begin with. I've already mentioned it several times, but there's something I want to try to point out in particular in this verse. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. The Apostle Paul has just come through this groaning, as I put it. This things I hate, that's what I do. What I want to do, what I love to do, I can't seem to accomplish that. He's come through this groaning of, I have sin in me. There's in me that is in my flesh, he says, dwells no good thing.
Yes.
This idea that some people have today that when God saves a person, he changes all they are. That's a lie. He doesn't change anything that we were.
No.
And we still are all that we were before.
Yes.
But what God does is give us something that we did not have before.
Amen.
What he gives us that we did not have before is in conflict with what we were and still are.
Yes, sir.
What he gives us that we did not have before does not affect in any positive way what we were and are.
That's true.
And this is why the Apostle Paul in verse 24 cries out, even in the present tense,
yes,
O wretched man that I am.
Amen.
You remember I quoted from D.J. Ward last week. Mm-hmm. And what he said was true. He said this church is filled with former this and that. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, whatever we were before, we still by nature are today.
Yes, sir.
That has not changed. Those who were drunks before God saved them, in nature, they're still drunks.
Yep.
Those who were adulterers, those who were thieves, those who were fornicators, those who embezzled, they still, as they were, they still are in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
The flesh hasn't changed.
That's it.
And Paul cries out, O wretched man that I am. But there's something that distinguishes Paul from the rest of the majority of humanity. There's a group of people that are like Paul by God's free and sovereign grace.
Amen.
Paul cries out, without a doubt, O wretched man that I am. But then this next word differentiates between Paul and most professed believers. Who?
Amen.
You see that one word right there?
Yes.
Who?
Exactly.
There's a lot of people crying out for deliverance.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people that have had... to a certain extent, they've had an experience similar to Paul's experience. Okay? It's not the same thing because it's not of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
But people can have this, I'm a bad person, I'm a wretched person experience apart from the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
The problem is they cry out, O wretched man that I am, what can deliver me from the body of this death? The person who has experienced this as Paul experienced it,
yeah,
through the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, and through the Word of God, cries out, O wretched man that I am, who?
Amen.
And D.J. Ward said it in a message. That's what brought this to my attention in particular. D.J. Ward said concerning this very passage, Paul had come upon his who.
That's right.
Paul had been dealing with what?
Yes, sir.
He had been engaged in what's?
Yeah.
Do this, what to do here, what not to do there.
Yeah.
What to do on this certain occasion, what not to do on that certain occasion. And Paul realized that don't work.
Yeah.
It just puts me deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole. And finally, when Paul cries out, O wretched man that I am, grace has brought him to say this next word, who?
Amen.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We are all the sons and daughters of natural religion.
Yeah.
Even irreligious people,
oh, yeah,
even though they don't know it, they may not always manifest it, even they are the sons and daughters of natural religion.
Yes, sir.
Even people who don't believe in God,
yeah,
manifest that they inwardly truly do when they have to deny the existence of God.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this before, I don't fight with anybody as to whether Santa Claus is real or not.
No.
Right? I don't have to argue with anybody trying to prove whether or not the Easter Bunny is real.
Exactly
right?
It.
But there are people who want to try to argue and prove that God does not exist.
Yeah. Right.
When you have to do that, you got a problem, don't
yeah.
you?
Exactly.
It proves that they actually know God does exist.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, in the truest sense of the word, not atheists. They are infidels.
Exactly.
Infidels. Now that's a stronger, it indicates an unbeliever. But it has a stronger connotation. An unbeliever may be an ignorant person who's simply never been informed of anything.
Exactly.
And all they know is nature, and they may realize something's out there beyond what they can comprehend, but they have no basis, you know. But other people have been informed as to why this is like it is.
Yeah.
These people reject it. These are infidels.
Yeah.
These are people not just who are unbelievers, but they are unbelievers who are actively opposed to the truth of God.
Yes.
That's an infidel. That's the difference between
exactly.
an infidel and an unbeliever. An infidel is an unbeliever, but the infidel goes further than most unbelievers.
That's it.
They actively oppose the truth, deny the truth. They seek to deny the existence of God even. But nevertheless, every person is a son and daughter of natural religion. It's a part of that to which we fail. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created with true religion.
Yes, sir.
I mean, in its truest sense,
yeah.
because, Mason, they served by works.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Yeah. They were actually given a code of work.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tend the garden.
Yeah.
Right? That's work, right?
Yeah.
Produce children. That's work, right? They were given a code of works.
Yeah.
But Adam disobeyed. And then fail in not to just a code of works, but a way of works as an attempt to gain acceptance before God.
That's it.
Adam and Eve were born, or I should not born. Adam and, that's the wrong word. Adam and Eve were created, accepted of God.
Yeah.
They fail from that state. And no longer were their works an act of obedience to God, but their works then became an act of trying to gain back acceptance with God. We have within us, that's every one of us by nature, we have within us that insidious bent toward works religion to bring us favor before God.
You're right.
Even the atheist does certain things or don't do other certain things to appease his moral conscience.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And Paul says this even of the unbelieving, of the pagans,
yeah.
those who've never been informed verbally, objectively, concerning the Word of God. He said, even they have within them written in their hearts the law of God. I don't know how to explain that, Mason, but God has done something to the human race wherein certain rules of wrong and right are inscribed in the human being. And Paul says concerning even these people who don't know the law. They've never heard the law. They either accuse or excuse one another. They hold to certain things as right and other things as wrong. And they will enact punishments upon one another when they go outside of those bounds.
Yeah.
Even the heathen do this.
Yeah.
The cannibals don't eat themselves. They eat other tribes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to go eat my neighbor today.
That's it.
They eat their enemies.
Yeah.
All right? They have within them certain rules of wrong and right. And it's that insidious bent toward works religion.
Yes, sir.
I'll gain favor, whether it's with a God, or the gods, or my conscience.
Exactly.
I'll have it eased, I'll have everything appeased, I'll have everything settled by my works.
Yeah.
If I have the proper amount of works, or the right kind of works,
mm-hmm.
somehow it'll all be okay in the end.
Yeah. Exactly.
We are naturally and totally depraved.
Amen.
Okay? I know we hold to it. We believe in total depravity. It's one of those 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
TULIP. Remember that. TULIP. T-U-L-I-P. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. But we are more than just totally depraved. We are naturally depraved.
Yes, sir.
It's what I mean by that, it means we are depraved simply because we are depraved and there was nothing we could do about it. We were totally passive in the fact that we were conceived and born totally depraved.
Yes, sir.
We're born totally depraved because we are naturally depraved from our parents.
Yes, sir.
And I don't just mean our direct parents. I mean our parents, the first set.
Exactly.
Adam and Eve. The state to which they fail is the state in which we are born.
That's right.
And what did they fall to? What happened once they realized they were naked?
Yeah.
Now, they were always naked.
Yep. Exactly.
Right? They were naked from the beginning, and it was not wrong.
Exactly.
There was no guilt of conscience in it. And it wasn't that God hid the conscience from them. It was at that time, nakedness was not wrong. What became wrong? All of a sudden, nakedness did not become wrong. It was Adam's act of rebellion against God in eating of the fruit that opened his eyes to the difference between good and evil. It says, therefore, they perceived themselves to be naked. What was wrong with nakedness? There was nothing wrong with nakedness. It was still just Adam and his wife. Right? There were still, at that time, no children to see anything that happened between the husband and the wife, correct?
Exactly.
The nakedness was not wrong. They all of a sudden began to be able to distinguish there is a right and there is a wrong.
Yeah.
So what does Adam do? What should he have done? He should have cried out for mercy and for forgiveness, should he not? But what did him and his wife do? They took fig leaves, and it says they sewed them together and made themselves aprons. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
They actually labored with their hands to cover up what they thought to be wrong.
Exactly.
Now here's something I never even seen. They were covering up not what was wrong. What was wrong was eating of the fruit.
Exactly.
Not being naked.
Exactly.
We are so depraved we don't even know what our sin is.
Exactly.
We're trying to work to cover up something that's not wrong to start with. And then when we do discover what our sin is, we make up excuses for it.
Yeah.
Adam did the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
Once it was realized, you know, who told you you were naked?
Yeah.
God didn't, you know, that's the voice of God.
Yeah.
Come in the cool of the day. Who told you we were naked? He never says nakedness is a sin. Does he?
No.
And that's what it's not what he said there. But he said, what did you do?
Yeah.
Well, we ate.
Yeah.
And the blame game started. Right?
Yes, sir.
So even when we revealed our sin, then what do? We try to shove it off somewhere else. We try to justify ourselves.
Yeah.
That's natural, total depravity.
Yes, sir.
Total depravity doesn't mean we conduct ourselves in the worst way possible, but it does mean we are totally incapable of doing the right thing.
Amen.
We call those things that are not sin, sin, and we call sin a mistake.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
what we do. We're the sons and daughters of natural religion. We're not conceived and born in, as Adam and Eve were created. We're conceived and born into that state wherein Adam and Eve fail.
Yeah.
We constantly are looking for a what to deliver us.
Yeah.
Not for a who.
Exactly.
But when God Almighty gives you life, the whats of this world begin to diminish.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't mean the automatic law will just go away, but they begin to diminish.
Yeah.
As you begin to look at the whats of life, the things we do or the things we don't do, elements of omission or elements of commission, things we do or don't do.
Yeah.
And if we begin to consider those things in particular, the more we look at them, the less admirable they are if God's given you life. Even to the extent of prayer, of Bible reading, of sin confession. Let me tell you something, even believing God.
Amen. That's right. Oh, yeah.
Because the truth is, I don't believe God as God deserves to be believed.
Exactly.
I believe Him, but I don't believe Him like He deserves to be believed.
Exactly. That's it.
I pray, but I know I don't pray like I ought to.
Right.
I read, but I know I don't read like I ought to. And oft times I read maybe more than I ought to, but I don't study when I ought to be studying. I'm reading.
Yeah.
And then there's time when maybe I ought to just read.
Yeah.
And I think I ought to study.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There are other times maybe I ought to read and study, and I don't do either one.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. knows the things. Things begin to be diminished. Things begin to come down. They begin to be seen for what they are. Actions, deeds that are incapable of justifying us before God.
Exactly.
The only answer that will satisfy not just the conscience, but God Almighty's justice, yeah, is when we can cry out, "O wretched man that I am," we must be enabled to say, "Who?"
Amen.
And that who be the right who.
Yes, sir.
That's another problem. The who better be the right who.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of who's out there as well. Right?
Yes, sir.
The Lord Jesus Christ said there will be some people come and say, "I'm Christ."
Oh, yeah.
They're false Christ. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus Christ also said there will be some who are going to come and say, "Well, this is Christ. Yeah. Over there is Christ. This is who Christ is. Here's the way Christ is." And he said, "It's not true. Don't you go after him." There are many false Christs. Somebody says, "How am I going to know the true one?" And a lot of people say, "Well, just read your Bible." If you're unregenerate, it won't do you any good.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah. It won't do you any good.
Exactly.
You can read the Bible until you can quote it better than Jack Van Impe himself.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, it's a what?
Exactly.
It's not going to deliver you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the more people learn of what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing, the more condemnation they heap upon their heads.
That's
right.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? Yeah. It's a fact. Our Lord told some people, "You'll receive the greater condemnation." Why? You knew more.
Yeah.
You were exposed to more.
Yeah.
You had far more light given to you, at least outwardly, than other people had. You're going to receive the greater condemnation.
Yes, sir.
The best thing for most folks to do is go crawl in a hole till they die.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
If they're not going to believe God, they're not going to trust God, they're not going to rest in Christ, the best thing for them to do is hang a millstone about their neck and jump into the sea. Right? But we don't do that.
Exactly.
Right? We're told if we do that, that's a sin too.
That's right.
Aren't we?
Yep.
Suicide's a sin. Right? Yeah. Can't win for losing.
Exactly.
And you know, that's what Paul's saying.
Yeah.
I can't win for losing.
Yeah.
The more I try, the more I realize I lack.
Exactly.
The more I do, the more I realize I fail.
Yeah.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Yes.
Now that's a good place to be, although it may not feel good.
Yeah.
Oh, wretched man that I am. But here is a good thing, is if you can cry it out and mean it, if it's real to you, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then you can answer it, I thank God,
yes,
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If your who is any other who other than that who, you've missed it.
Yeah.
You've missed it. We constantly look, again I said, we constantly look for a what to deliver us and not the who. However, there is this group of people. And you know what this group of people is. Paul describes them. It's over in chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. This is this group of people. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is the Son, that's the nearest word associated with that he, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. This group of people have been secured by the sovereign purpose of God Almighty. What He has purposed to come to pass for them is so assured as far as God is concerned that Paul must, being led by the Spirit of God, he must put it in the past tense.
Yes, sir.
Not because it is actually already past for us, but because it's so sure, being God's purpose, it's already considered as past.
Yes, sir.
That's why. I've not been glorified yet. You can follow me around for a while, you'll find that out. Neither of you either. I can follow you around for a while, I'll find that out.
Oh yeah.
We're not yet glorified, but as far as God's concerned, if He foreknew you, you're already glorified.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're even called yet.
Exactly.
As far as God's concerned, you are.
Yes, sir.
You've been predestinated. Somebody said, I don't like that. Well, you don't want to be a group, part of this group then, right?
Exactly.
You don't want to be a part of this group? Fine. You might be anyway. Huh? You might be anyway. I don't care whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
Huh? God doesn't do it based upon whether you like it or not. He didn't ask our consent.
No, sir.
Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has said unto him, this is what you'll do?
Yeah.
No. See, I know most people thought, well, God won't make you. Yeah, he might. If he predestinated you, bless God, you're going to come to the end of this.
Yes, sir.
And you'll like it when it does happen.
He'll
change. If you're adverse to it right now, there'll come a time when you won't be adverse to it anymore.
That's exactly.
Well, I'll never believe that. I said that too.
Uh-huh.
I did. Years ago, I said, "Man, no, I ain't going to believe that." No. Uh-uh. I fought against it.
Oh, yeah.
And here I am trying to stand for it.
Yeah.
Here, at this moment in time, it means more to me. This truth means more to me than all the what's out there in the world. Because it says, whom he, whom he, whom he, whom he, whom he, right?
Yes, sir.
See, there's a who in there.
Exactly.
He, the who is the he.
Yes, sir.
Paul described this group of people. And these people are being, hear what I'm saying, they're being enabled to rise above their depravity and look to the who.
Amen.
You hear what I said? I didn't say they're able to get rid of their depravity. They're able to rise above their depravity and look to trust in the who.
Yes, sir.
Listen, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors.
Amen.
Now somebody said, but I just don't feel like it. Have you been able to look to the who?
Yeah.
To Christ? Huh?
That's it.
That's conquering. That's more than conquering.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the blessed things that is just beyond the comprehension of the human mind. Yet most people think they understand it. You know, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
Yes, sir.
And yes, one of them is God was manifest in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
But you know what another one is, don't you?
Yeah.
Believed on in the world.
Amen.
Huh? See, that's a mystery of godliness. It's not something that cannot be humanly comprehended.
Exactly.
You know why most people think they comprehend that? Because they're comprehending a human believing.
That's it.
Not a spiritual believing.
That's it.
They're comprehending a believing of the flesh,
yeah,
not a believing of the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
No, these people are enabled to rise above their depravity and look to the who. They're enabled to look to Christ, to trust Christ, to rest in Christ. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And they're not just stopped there in ignorance.
Yeah.
I just hope there's a who out there somewhere. Even Job knew better than that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, I don't know that Job knew God as Jesus of Nazareth. I've got no reason to believe that. But he still knew God himself was the deliverer.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? Though he slay me, yet will I trust
him.
Amen. I know my Redeemer liveth. Huh? Right? In the latter days, he's going to what? Stand on the earth. And though the skin worms devour my body, I'm going to go back and I'm going to rot.
Yeah.
My body's going to rot. Worms are going to eat me.
Yep.
They didn't. Yeah. Some people did. But, you know, embalming wasn't for everybody back then. You know what I mean? That was for folks that had money.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, I'm going to corrupt like all fresh flesh corrupts. And you know what? Yet in my flesh, I shall see. He's talking about my eyes. Didn't he say it with my eyes? I'll see God. Job knew who the deliverer was. God himself. Remember Adam and Eve sewed to themselves fig leaves and made themselves aprons. Notice their covering wasn't even sufficient. It was just an apron. There's a reason it's translated apron, not suit.
Yeah. Exactly.
An apron covers only part.
That's right.
Another way, if it don't, it's a dress.
Yeah.
Right? There's a difference between an apron and a dress.
Exactly.
There's a difference between an apron and a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
It leaves something to be desired.
Yeah.
The very point is, it could not cover everything.
Yeah. That's it.
But who did cover? How did Adam and Eve find any kind of deliverance?
Yeah.
Who did the work? God did it.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't say this all exactly, but God killed the animal.
Yeah.
Well, it said he took coats of skins.
Yeah.
There was no death yet other than the spiritual death they had suffered.
Right?
Right? There was no physical death even yet.
Yeah.
Right? And he said God took coats of skins, and God didn't say, all right, here they are, now you put them on. It said God took coats of skins and clothed them.
Amen.
God did all the work.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And it implies something else too. Blood was shed. Death and blood.
Yes, sir.
Death and blood. And it was God's death, and it was God's blood, and it was God's clothing. God does it all. Paul needed deliverance. I need deliverance.
Yes, sir.
Paul needed rescuing. It's the same word, just a different way of putting it. Paul needed rescuing. I need to be rescued.
Yeah.
Not just, if Paul didn't say, oh, wretched man that I was, who delivered me? I thank God Jesus delivered me. You know, he's talking about this thing even in present tense, right?
Yes, sir.
And then somebody comes, well, he's not talking about salvation there. Paul had that. Before this, you're an idiot. Anybody who thinks like that is just an idiot. They don't understand salvation at all.
Exactly.
They think salvation is like some little magic tonic you drink.
Yeah.
All right, I've got my elixir now.
Yeah.
You know, the lucky rabbit's foot. I rubbed it one time, I'm okay.
Yep.
Stupid nonsense. Some magical talisman. Say this prayer and everything. You know, pray the sinner's prayer. When it says pray the sinner's prayer, it really means that you've got to know and really be a sinner before it'd do any good to pray it.
Exactly.
It's not just saying the words. You got to be the kind of person that says those words.
Yeah.
No, Paul needed deliverance. He needed rescue. In other words, he needed salvation. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me? Same word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the same word in the Greek.
Yes,
they just translated here, deliver.
Yep.
That's the only, it's the same Greek word. Who shall save me from the body of this death? And Paul, look at the very thing. Look at, we've looked at it, but look at it again if you please to. Paul had been forced to abandon the whats.
Yeah.
All the whats, right?
Yeah.
All the things. Everything that he could do or everything he shouldn't do. And he had been forced to abandon that as far as deliverance is concerned. Where is deliverance? It's not in a what. I've done recognize that. It's only in a who.
Amen.
It's only in Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Remember, Paul's whats were not immoral whats.
No.
Right? And this is another thing. Mac and I talked just briefly this morning on the phone. Talk about the difference between walking after the Spirit and walking after the flesh. And I didn't define that difference. But you think about this, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, and you can turn there because this is a revealing passage. We talk about here true deliverance. The fact is, when Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" For him, Jesus Christ wasn't just another piece of the puzzle. Jesus Christ was, once all the puzzle is put together, he is the puzzle.
Amen.
You see? There are a lot of different pieces that may not show him in all of his glory when you take that piece by itself, but once it's all put together, he's not a piece of the puzzle. He's the picture that the puzzle portrays. He's everything.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if you believe in the sovereignty of God. That's not trusting Christ. The devils know he's sovereign.
Yes, sir.
And can't do anything about it.
Right.
They're forced to do only what he allows them to do.
Yes, sir.
Huh? But one thing they don't do is trust Christ, love Christ, believe Christ, serve Christ. They can't.
Exactly.
And we can't apart from his grace.
Amen.
Listen, Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Period.
Amen.
That's tough sometimes. But that ain't it ain't rejoice in the Lord when you feel like rejoicing. It's not rejoice in the Lord when you're happy.
No.
It's rejoice in the Lord. Period.
Amen.
To write the same things to you, to meet indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That word there, Paul, I was going to say forgive me, but no, I don't ask for forgiveness. It's just a fact. Paul didn't say the circumcisers. Because circumcision in and of itself really means nothing.
Exactly.
You know, Paul says circumcision avails nothing or uncircumcision.
Exactly.
Being uncircumcised didn't mean you were better off than a circumcised person.
Exactly.
Paul didn't say here the circumcisers, he says the concision. You know what? The mutilators.
Yeah.
Now, he's talking about people who perform circumcisions.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he calls them mutilators.
Yeah.
Because they were doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
You see.
Exactly.
The mutilators. And he says, Job talked about it. Beware of them.
Yeah.
You watch. Well, don't judge. By God, you better. Because they'll lead you down the wrong road if you listen to what they say.
That's it.
They'll take you down the wrong path.
Yes, sir.
We best judge. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. You see it? And rejoice. There's three hallmarks of a true born-again person.
Yes, sir.
All right? We're the circumcision, but what's that really mean? Right? Here's the kind of circumcision he's talking about. Which? Worship God in the Spirit.
Yes.
A lot of people do it out here.
Oh, yeah.
They can wave them hands. They can gibber. They can squall. And they can scream. Sounds like a demonic banshee out of hell.
Yes, sir.
That's what they sound like. I've heard them.
Yeah.
You know? I watched one old lady one time. She went up, and I know she thought she had the Spirit of God, but she better thank God it wasn't cold in wintertime and that pot-bellied stove had fire in it. Because she went up and laid hold of that pot-bellied stove. And I mean, she was a-rocking that thing. Oh, God. They're talking about saving some guy in the audience.
Yeah.
My friend that I was with put me over in the corner, and he said, you go over here and sit in the corner. I won't let him get to you.
Yeah.
That scared the lights out. You know.
That's a friend.
What? And he was. He said, you come over here in the corner, Walter. I'll keep them from getting to you. My parents let me go stay with people like that. They didn't know they were like that. She laid hold of that pot belly stove. Oh, Jesus, save him. Oh, Jesus. They drugged that man down to the front.
Yeah.
They'd come back and literally laid hands on him and forced him to either go forward or he'd had to, you know, fight him to get loose. And people just, oh, the Spirit of God's here. And you know, when the Spirit of God, that was, you know what that was? Flesh. Now, why do I mention that? Well, look, most people think of walking after the flesh as what? Now, come on. Well, walking after the flesh, there's one word they can use to define walking after the flesh. Now, I'll give it to you. It's called immorality.
Oh, yeah.
There's the immorality. If you're a moral person and you're doing it for religious reasons, then that's walking after the Spirit. But if you're an immoral person, even if you do it for good reasons, then you're walking after the flesh. Right? That's the distinction, right? Well, let's look here. For we're the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. That's the three hallmarks.
Yes, sir.
Of a truly circumcised person. Spiritually circumcised. Yeah. Listen. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Right? If any other man think he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I got more.
That's it.
Paul says, you want to brag about walking after the flesh?
Yeah.
You want to brag about your what's? You want to brag about what you do or don't do?
Yeah.
Alright? Let's stack up our chips beside one another.
Exactly.
Right? Paul says, here's mine. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Now, I'd ask every man, child, or man, person here this morning, how many of you can say that even if you're circumcised?
Not really.
Most of you were circumcised way too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Way too soon. They didn't wait till the eighth day, did they? And you're not even the stock of Benjamin or any other of that tribe. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
Yes, sir.
But what?
Amen.
Remember the what's?
Yeah.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for what?
Christ.
Not, I counted them lost so I can go to heaven. giving up your works to go to heaven won't get you to heaven.
Exactly.
You see? Right. If you're doing it, if you're trusting Christ trying to get to heaven, you know what that is? Yeah. Works.
Exactly.
You trust Christ for Christ's sake.
Yes,
you
sir.
Trust Christ because he deserves to be trusted.
Amen.
You trust Christ because he's trustworthy.
Yes, sir.
You believe him because he's believable.
Exactly.
You serve him because he deserves to be served. Mm-hmm. You love him because he deserves to be loved.
Yeah.
Even if you had to go to hell.
Yeah.
You know that?
That's it.
And the truth is, knowing what I know now,
yeah.
And knowledge can puff up. I know, understand that. But also love's there as well. But I do know, knowing and being persuaded that where I am right now is by the sovereign purpose of God. If God came down and told me, Walter, you're not one of mine. You're not going to be let in. I would say, God, I sure would love to be one.
Yes, sir.
If I'm not, if there's anything you could do to make me one, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You still deserve to be worshipped.
Amen.
Yes,
even
sir.
If I have to go to hell.
Yes, exactly right.
You deserve it.
Amen.
Now most people say, well, I wouldn't serve God if I had to go to hell. That proves your depravity.
Yeah, exactly.
And it proves, I don't care what you profess to be. You can profess to be a Christian all day long. You see, Christ is worthy of our admiration.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Amen.
No matter what. Now, where was I? Oh, here we are. Concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things. Now, not all.
Yeah.
But all things, right?
Yes.
All things but loss. Here it is. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus Christ was, as God ordained it to be, according to Colossians 1, 12 through 19, Jesus Christ was and is to every true born-again believer preeminent.
Amen.
And if Jesus Christ is not preeminent to you, you have not been born again.
Exactly.
I don't apologize for that. I say that because I care about people's souls. Somebody said, well, I'm not for sure if he is or not. Doesn't matter if he is.
Exactly.
It's not a matter if I know what all he is. I know he's preeminent to me because sometimes when I say that, you know what God will show you?
Yep.
In your experience, he's not near as preeminent as you thought he was.
Exactly.
Now, he is preeminent.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's right. Something will happen. Boy, Jesus Christ is everything to me. Huh? Then I don't get my raise this year and I start belly aching and my lip hangs down. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
You ever been there? Huh? Oh, yeah, budget cuts. But I didn't cut back on my work. You know?
Yeah.
You ever been there? You know what? If Christ was really all in our life,
yeah.
There would nothing faze us.
Exactly.
There would nothing faze us. The problem is, Christ is not. He is all, but he's not all in our lives. Well, he's the Lord of my life. You bet your life he is.
Yeah.
But we don't live it that way.
That's right.
Do we? Yeah, that's exactly. Oh, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them. This is strong language, but I count them but dung.
Yeah.
Look, that I might win Christ. You see, this is not something Paul said, all right, I settled that back yonder. This is something that is an everyday goings-on with God's people.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Something we deal with every day of our lives.
Yes.
Just like Romans 7 and verse 24.
Yeah.
You will never, until you awake in Christ's likeness, be able to get over, O wretched person, man or woman, O wretched man that I am.
Amen.
If you're a believer in Christ and you ever get over that, you're going senile. And we'll start getting you some medicine.
Yep.
We'll go to the doctor for you and we'll find you something to calm your nerves a little. Because you're losing it. But most people, it's not senility that make them do that.
Yeah.
It's being unregenerate.
Yes, sir.
Because Christ not only was preeminent to us, he is preeminent.
Yes, sir.
Even though we don't always live it. Christ gave an illustration of this, and I'll end with this. There was a lot more I had here, but Just read it, and I'll make just a couple comments because it's time for me to close. Matthew 6, listen to these words. Matthew 6, verse 22. Now, you read the commentary, some of you will find all kinds of garbage concerning this. But you examine the scriptures to see if what I'm about to tell you is not true or not. Matthew 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that means without confusion. If it's focused on one thing, okay? If it's concentrating on the reality in front of it, it's not dashing around in the periphery looking at everything else. It's concentrated on what's set before it. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now let me just try to illustrate that. Here's a person who sees Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? For the most part, that's all they see.
Yeah.
You know? Their mind and heart, their bowels of mercy, is concentrated upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Their whole body, their whole life, everything will be full of light. It doesn't say it's going to be part. It's going to be full of light.
Yeah.
They're going to see the truth.
Yeah.
But if a person's eye be evil, if they're roaming around looking at everything else other than Christ, their whole body is going to be full of what? Darkness. And the problem is, if a lot of these things they're seeing are religious things, okay, they're good things if they're used for the right reason. But if used for the wrong reason, they can be deadly to the soul.
Yes, sir.
You got somebody that's eyes looking on everything else but Christ, that's darkness.
Yeah.
That light has come to them darkness.
Yeah.
It's a deception to them. And know what? How great is that darkness? You see, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but he's just another part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Rather than being central to everything.
Exactly.
Okay?
That's it.
And I say to every person here, my brothers and sisters, that's the hallmark. That's the difference between us, if we are one of God's, and them out there.
Yeah.
Is we see Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They see everything else.
Yeah.
Even if it's good thing. Even if what they're looking at's Bible reading, praying, repenting, singing in the choir, witnessing, soul winning, you know, trying to help other folks out, Mason. If that's what they're concentrating on, if that's what their life is consumed by, it is to them darkness. And it's a great darkness. There is nothing, there is no deception more binding than religious deception. And especially religious deception based on the Word of God. W.E. Best had a quote, and I'll give you that and quit. Heresy cloaked in biblical language remains heresy.
Exactly.
That's a good statement.
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray that you join our hearts and minds together around the person and work of Christ. Comfort us in him, and it's in his name I ask it. Amen.